السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. I hope most of us practiced the adhkar after the salah, after fajr. We should do these things regularly, particularly when we are busy and in a rush. At that time, you should specifically make sure that you complete your adhkar, because that's how you train your nafs that wants to run somewhere else. So you said, no, you're going to sit here and complete what is more important. Okay. This is not for when you have free time. This is for all times. Why is it for all times? Because there is a reality that we just heard about in the beautiful recitation this morning. And from that reality, haqqul yaqeen, which is death, we are only one blink away, one heartbeat away. And suddenly, as these eyes closed, the deception will be over. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called this life in this world as what? This dunya as a mata'ul ghurur, a deception. Because everything we see here seems permanent. And even though we say with our tongues that we are not going to be here forever, that you and I have to leave, but the heart still accepts that, oh, I have a lot of time, I'm going to be here. And yet, in a moment, no matter what you have, yesterday, when they took us to see some of the history of Hyderabad, and gave a whole narration of what happened, and who was this, and who was that, and who ruled this, and who fought this battle, who built this palace, who built this fort, who was the richest man in the world at one time, who had these connections. And now you look. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, travel in the world and see what is the condition of people who were ashaddu minkum quwwah, who had more power than you, who had more connections than you, who had more wealth than you will ever dream of. See their ends. Look at the tombs out there. What is left there? Pigeons. Trees growing out of domes. Not so that we may appreciate the architecture, which you can, but it's an ibrah, it's a lesson that look, the end of everyone is the same. And as soon as you die, the reality, your eyes will open to what the reality is. To remind us of that reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over and over again out of His mercy, one surah after another surah after another surah reminds us of that death and the life that is to come. And he tells us that there are two paths. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no matter how you do, there are only two paths. No matter what faith you say you belong to, ultimately if you break it down, there are only two paths. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنَ Two ways, two clear paths. And the end of each path is also very clear. There are only two destinations. There are only two destinations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that there is a path where there is difficulty. And there is a path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His wisdom, made easy. And this is described by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Jannah, He asked Jibreel alayhi salam to go and see it. So Jibreel alayhi salam went, he saw Jannah in all of its glory. And we heard some of those descriptions just now. And he came back and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him about it. And he said, Ya Allah, whoever hears about this will only want to enter this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go back and take another look. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the Jannah with all kinds of difficulties and hardships. And then when Jibreel alayhi salam came back, he said, what do you think? Jibreel alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, my Lord, I'm afraid that nobody will enter it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Jahannam. And he sent Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam goes and sees the terrors of Jahannam, sees the fire of Jahannam, sees the trees of Jahannam, sees the food of Jahannam, and is shown all of what Jahannam contains. And he comes back and says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Rabb, I'm afraid, what I see, nobody who hears about this would want to enter it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him back a second time, go take another look. And then he surrounded Jahannam with all kinds of attractions and temptations and ease and pleasures. And then Jibreel alayhi salam comes back and says, Ya Allah, I'm afraid that everyone will enter it. So there are two paths. See, in the dunya, when you want to achieve something that is of meaning, of value, starting from childhood, the child goes to school, the first thing he does. If he wants to be on the top of his class, he has to work hard. If he wants to be at the bottom, he wants to be the last in the class, he doesn't have to make any effort. He can enjoy himself. He's playing all the time. But when do they find out? Nobody knows till the results come out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the ultimate reward. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expensive. You have to pay your dues. You have to go through that hardship. That's why he's described the two paths. One, an uphill path. The one to Jannah is like climbing a mountain, which is not easy. You get tired and so on. You have to make a lot of effort. And the path to Jahannam is a downhill slope. You just go down. You don't have to make much effort. You just keep going down and you'll end up there. That's why going uphill is hardship. And somebody says, look, this is so much easier. That's why there is a mujahada. There is an effort. There is a striving. My nafs wants to take the easiest way. I mean, who wouldn't like to sleep at this time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his wisdom, gave this salah at the time when the sleep is at its deepest. Who doesn't want to sleep? It's very common. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, get up. So, there are two paths. As long as we keep that reality in front of us, we see that Jannah in front of us, we see that Nar in front of us, and this is not difficult because the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could actually see those, of course not with the physical eyes, but with the eyes of their heart. And that's why one of them said, Ya Rasulullah, when we are with you, we can see Jannah and Jahannam, and when we are away from you, blurs, it disappears. Because that environment was created, they heard about it so much, and all the time they were reminded, just like the surahs of the Quran, over and over, that those scenes were so clear, as if they could see it. And when you see something, then you strive for it. If it's forgotten, out of mind, out of sight, out of mind, then everything else that you see around becomes a reality. So this is what it is. And therefore we strive and we make our best effort for that, instead of where we are going to be forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those efforts in these surahs. First, He describes the Jannah, and He describes the Nar. And He says there will be on that day, and He calls it Al-Waqi'a, the happening, something about which there is certainty. And frequently He describes these things. This has not happened in the sense we have not entered, in the past tense. In the Arabic, not like this is going to happen. Many times it's described in the past tense. Why do you think? Because you and I know from our experience of time that past tense means it has happened. Future, maybe it will happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes all of this in the past tense means it is as if it has happened. It is certain to happen. There is no doubt about it. Then He describes the efforts of the people. He said, you can break down the efforts of the people into three categories. The one who try and they try and they try, they make that the purpose of their life, and they are among the muqarrabun, the people who are brought close. ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ. From the earlier groups, earlier nations, earlier part of the Salaf, there were a lot of them who made that effort. In the later generations, قَلِيل, few make that effort. Why? Because that reality is not clear anymore. Then there is the next group, the Ashabul Yameen, the people of the right hand, who make that effort, who make a good effort, and they also succeed. And this is the category where there are plenty from the old generations and also plenty from the later generations. And of course, there is the Ashabul Shimal, the people of the left hand, who took the easy downhill path and ended up in Jahannam. And our Qari today decided not to remind us of them today, so he just skipped that part, which is okay. Because some people make the effort because of what they see. Jannah, they make the effort for Jannah. But some people do not see it, so for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept fear, Jahannam. That out of the fear of that, some people will come. So there is an effort that needs to be made. There is an effort that needs to be made. It starts by talking about it, reading about it, reflecting about it, thinking, imagining. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the most beautiful way, has sketched complete pictures. You can actually, if you go through it and spend some time, that's why we say you have to have time in khalwa, in solitude, where you can read a few ayahs, a few descriptions. Then you sit and you reflect and you imagine. Of course, you can never imagine what Jannah is, because no eye has ever seen it. No heart can ever imagine it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you pictures. So if you just think of those literally, and you think, look at the best of the things that Allah has given in this dunya as samples, and you multiply them infinite fold, you'll have some idea. Then you say, wow. Now you're impressed. You're not impressed with, 137-story building. So this is mud and stone that was horizontal, now it's vertical. That's the only difference. I'm looking for something higher. I'm striving for something higher. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Jahannam. And for some people, the Jahannam moves the hearts. It's a matter of moving that heart and constantly reminding, because there's a constant da'wah going on outside, even if you don't realize it, towards the other way. Dunya, dunya, dunya. And in that, they're constantly bombarding you with that. Everywhere you see the same ad, everywhere you go, who doesn't know what Pepsi is? Okay. Every little child knows what Pepsi is. Everywhere you see Pepsi, Pepsi, TV, Pepsi, this Pepsi, everywhere. Why? That constant reminder, exposure to that makes it bigger, makes it reality. So you and I need to be constantly talking about the Akhirah, about the Jannah, about the Day of Judgment. What's going to happen? What's going to be my state? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeated these in various descriptions over and over and over again. So that's the first thing we need to do. After getting tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, then looking at that this is the end. What have I done? What have I prepared for? Okay. Taking and accounting, am I heading in the right direction? That's why this is an active process. We are not passive Muslims. I'm born in a Muslim family, Jannah is guaranteed for me. And what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us? In his last moments, or some, not the very last moments, he says, Ya Fatima, radiallahu anha, don't rest on the fact that you are the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I cannot help you, it's your own deeds. Who is he saying this to? The one who is the Sayyidatun Nisa, the leader of the women of paradise, to teach us that each one has to make our effort. And what is the effort? To learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, what He has ordered us, how to do it, how did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behave in this situation. When he was faced with this, what did he do? Of course we know. When it was time for salah, what did he do? But when he was faced with this difficulty, what did he do? When his children died, one after the other, what did he do? How did he behave? When his enemies mistreated him, what did he do? When he wanted to make effort for the deen and things looked very bleak, the whole world is against you, what did he do? That's why there is no other human being in human history, ever before or ever till the Day of Judgment, whose every aspect of the life in the most intimate details, including such thing as how he relieved himself, how he was with his wives, everything is documented. So nobody has any excuse that I didn't know. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him an uswatul hasana, the best of example. And then he says, example for who? Not for the disbelievers. The one who believe in the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the akhirah. You know, you have to have that belief, that certainty of akhirah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes your role model. Otherwise we have many other role models who will take us in the other direction. And every child wants to be like who they see. So today they want to be a cricketer or a film star, and these are the role models. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah Qaf, He says that on that day, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day we will ask Jahannam, هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ, have you had enough? It's like when we feed somebody, a guest comes, you say, eat more, eat more, eat more. And then you say, more, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Jahannam, have you had enough? And so many have gone into Jahannam, the reply of Jahannam is also in the Quran. Meaning of which is, can there be any more? Means the Jahannam is so full that Jahannam cannot believe that there could be anybody else left that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, have you had enough? In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that out of every 1,999 are destined for Jahannam. One. And that doesn't it, that isn't it what you see outside? Everybody going in one direction. And you think, I should be with everybody what they are doing. Well, guess where they are racing towards? That downhill path to Jahannam. But taqulu hal mim mazid. And Jahannam will say, can there be any more? Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Sajdah, He says, I will fill Jahannam. And then there are the chosen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us work on being the chosen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make this a reality. Let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give this reality in our hearts, because only then the heart motivates the brain to think that way, to act in that way, that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. It's very, very important, because every day, from last Fajr till this Fajr, we have no idea, 1,000, 100, no, hundreds of thousands of people who were here last Fajr when we were reminding each other till this Fajr are gone, never to come back. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, has made us, given us an extension for another 24 hours so that we may fix ourselves. Many of our salaf, some of them at the time of their deaths were in distress. And every time they would come out of the Sakaratul Maut, they were distressed. So the son of a person who was dying said, my father, you've had such a good, pious, righteous life. Are you afraid of death? So he says, may your mother lose you. I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of the fact that maybe I haven't prepared enough for my death to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should never rest with what we have done. Even if we are doing all of what is prescribed, because we don't know the quality of it. Even if the external quality, I do my things exactly as what I have heard and read about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even then, we don't know what it is inside. They were always afraid of whether my deeds, my amal, would be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's a matter of ikhlas. And that we only find out when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. So that Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, has things that no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, and no minds could even imagine. That's where is the time to fulfill our pleasures. What you want, you have. You imagine, you have. There is no effort. In Jannah, there is no effort. The effort is here. There is the reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that. After describing all of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He gives them, asks His servants, would you like something more? Ya Allah, you have given me what I can never imagine. Can there be something more greater than that? And He would say that, yes. And that is, I will never be displeased with you again. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes His wajh, His noble countenance, His face, as we say, the person of Jannah will forget all of Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a hint of that also in Surah Qaf. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will give them, and then there is more. And that's the more. Because ultimately, we should not strive for Jannah. We should strive for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannah is a byproduct of it. Okay? Somebody said, even if there was no Jannah, I would do the same. Because I'm working for the Lord of Jannah. Because Jannah still is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we work hard being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He sees me, He hears me, everything I do is recorded, He knows what's going on in my heart, He knows my effort. All the time, keep reminding ourselves, am I doing the right thing? What should I do? Especially in moments of weakness and in moments of temptation, because that is also the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will test you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, do you think you will enter Jannah just because you say that we believe? Because everybody says, I believe, I am this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will be tested like people who were tested before you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He were to give just on claims of what people claim, everybody would be in Jannah. So we will be tested. And that's the time that we have to be steadfast. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the reality of Himself, of His tawheed, of His greatness, of His generosity, of His rahmah, and all of those we have to. When you see, when you feel like disobeying, or you're on the verge of disobeying, think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's jalal, the names of His, the names of His majesty, you know, al-Jabbar, al-Mutakabbir, Muntaqim, you know, those. Power, so you feel fear. And when you're feeling down for some reason, you know, shaitan says, you know, you are lost. You are the worst of the worst. What's the effort? What's the sense of making any effort? Then you think of the names of His jamal, of His beauty, of His rahmah. Ar-Rahman, Al-Ghaffar. All of those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Latif. Gentle. And that will empower you again to act. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to know Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the reality of the haqiqah reality within our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us and help us to act in ways that are pleasing to Him and to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all that we have done that is displeasing to Him. Forgive us for all the times of our lives, this valuable time that we have wasted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to help ourselves, our family, and our greater family of this ummah to reach that destination, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the muqarrabun, those who are brought close to Him. Even though we come in the later generations, maybe He will make us among the qaleel, the few from the later generations who achieve that status. آمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك